Welcome to the Lightly in PHP podcast. This is episode 69. I'm Manuel Lemos, and as always, I have here with me Arthur Saw, since from the not so cold anymore Latvia, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a little bit colder, a little bit than when you are.
Well,
okay, probably a lot.
Over here, it's very. It's hot, actually. Sometimes I feel bad because it's above the 32 degrees.
That's why I like living in a colder country, because you always can get warm, but it's harder to get colder.
Yeah, that's true. And since the swimming pool is not working, sometimes you cannot get refreshing when you wish. But anyway, we are here to talk about JavaScript topics. As always, I mean, PHP topics. Just because today we inverted the order of the recording of the podcast. Anyway, talking about PHP, we are going to start, as always, by latest versions.
We can write it off to the hotness in your area.
Yeah, actually, it makes me sort of tired, all this heat, although I have a fan next to me. But okay, let me share the screen here. We are going to start. There was like three of the latest major versions, 5.5.32, with security fixes, as expected. And then 5.6.18 with some security fixes and others not so much about security. Some bug fixes, and then PHP 7.0.3 that was released on February 4th. And I don't know, as always, there is not really many things to comment about these fixes, just a regular update. So we are going to move on to the next topic. Which is the first of several topics related with the features that are being proposed for the next PHP version, which will be like PHP 7.1. So the first thing that I wanted to comment, just a minor suggestion for a new feature, which is that to have a constant that it identifies the current engine that is running PHP at the moment. It could be PHP by Zend engine itself, which is the most common implementation, but could also be HHVM, which is the engine that runs Facebook Ack, and their EPUB implementation, and or could be maybe, for instance, Zephyr. Zephyr is a sort of language derived from PHP that can compile into native PHP extensions. So it would also be a possible engine. So there is not much to say about this.
I just want to comment that on one hand, you can understand that it would be useful if you want to write a PHP class that would be both PHP and hack compatible. It would be great to have such a check.
Yeah.
Right? But on the other hand, it starts to be similar to the cross-browser nightmare that we had in JavaScript and try to get away from.
Yeah. And you have conditional code based on browser identification. I think that's basically it. Anyway, I think people that need this feature are already using some kind of a detection, I suppose.
Probably feature-wise or a function exists or something like that.
Yeah, I think that is the case. Well, anyway, I don't see much problem with this feature. Use it if you want. If you don't, use it, it will not affect you. So, moving on, I'm going to talk about another proposal for a feature that may be actually useful when you want to deal with arrays. In PHP, arrays could be are usually hash tables in practice, but the keys can be also numeric, meaning that it will be like a regular array in other languages.
Indexed array.
Yes. So the idea is to have a function named as numeric keys to tell you what kind of array is that. Although you can also have mixed keys like numeric and strings. Okay, I personally I don't feel that I need this type of function in Redis. Probably for somebody that is using some kind of programming that dynamically adapts to the kind of parameters that are being passed, in this case arrays. So there are probably use cases for this.
Yeah, that's actually interesting. On the one hand, I also didn't have a use case for this. But on the other hand, if I would need one, all the implementations would be kind of hackish. More to say, yeah, it's the same as provided for looping and checking the type or comparing the lists, is, I think, could be even worse, maybe.
Probably would kind of... wasting CPU cycles on traversing dual array to tell if it is as numeric keys or not. So probably this feature would be implemented with some internal flag that as the elements are added, it can keep track whether they are numeric or not.
Exactly.
Okay, moving on, talking about another new feature that is being proposed or at least discussed, because sometimes some of these feature proposals do not even end in a RFC. They could just drop by the proponent in the discussions. And in this case, the idea is to add interfaces to traits. So traits are a feature that can implement parts of a class. And the idea is to specify that the trait should implement an interface, which makes it a bit confusing because interfaces are supposed to be implemented by classes, not traits. Traits are just excerpts of a part of a class. So, I don't know if it is going to pass. I have looked at the discussions. Some people are not very keen with this proposal because it probably makes it more confusing.
Yes, on one hand, yes, it makes it more confusing. On the other hand, I think the issue that he presents is more like, so he has a trait that follows specific interface. And if he could tell that this trait uses this interface, then he would not need to declare the same thing in the class. So from the class perspective, by using this trait, it would automatically also use this interface.
I see your point. So the class doesn't have to know that the trait needs that interface or implements that interface.
Yeah.
I think in that case it would make some sense, but some people are complaining that probably will make it. Okay. This time it was not my fault. For some reason, Chrome crashed while I was preparing the next tab. So maybe we should restart from this feature.
Okay.
Okay, where is it now? Threads with interfaces, right?
Yeah.
Okay, moving on, we are now going to talk about another proposal, which is related with implementing the support for threads in interfaces. Threads, as you know, are portions of code, variables and functions that can be included in one or more classes. So the idea here is that threads also implement interfaces that can be used by the actual code that is implementing the trait. So this is a bit odd because some people actually commented that whoever has to implement the interfaces are the classes. So
yeah. There is a use case that basically if a trait implements an interface and class implements a trait, it does not have this interface. So you specifically for each class that uses trait, you also need to define this interface in the class. So it would be just easier to have a trait implement an interface and it would automatically apply to the class that uses this trait too.
Yeah. Well, it seems the idea is to implement the interface code in the traits, not so much use other interfaces that are not implemented by the trait. But there was a certain discussion. Some people said that it would be confusing, and whoever has to implement the interfaces are the classes. And but I understand that in some cases the trait will bring some functionality that would mean that it would implement the interface that the class needs. So it seems to make a certain sense. I just don't know if this is going to be a proposal that is going to be submitted as an RFC or even be voted after that by the majority of the voters that will evaluate it. So for now, it's just a proposal, and let's see how it goes. So moving on with the proposals, this time there is an RFC that proposes the deprecation of the var keyword. As you may know, since PHP 5, var is the equivalent to public. So var was introduced like with classes that came in PHP 3 already. The idea is to make it different from functions. So classes would have variables and functions, and var would tell that that declaration is a variable. Although it's a bit redundant because in PHP that variable declaration start with the dollar mark. Anyway, that is something that came from the past, and the idea here is to deprecate it with the argument that would make the language less complex. And from all the discussions that I've seen, many people are against it because if you don't want to use var, just do not use it. If deprecating it is not going to add any value to the language, they are just opposing to the idea of deprecating it because it probably break. Well, it will certainly break legacy code, without actually adding any value. And I have seen, I don't know so far because this is not yet up for voting, but I've seen many people against it precisely because of this reason. And but the people that are in favor also said that many projects, they pick like the 10,000 projects, most popular projects and in GitHub or something, PHP, and notice that like 92% use public and not var.
You can scroll down. I think the results are there.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one.
Oh, okay. I was telling top of my mind, and so they say 62% use public only, with 27% don't use public variables of any kind. So they do not even use public variables. Everything is private. 4% use var internally, and 4% have a dependency which uses var. And then there was a minority of errors. Like 94% use public, why bother upsetting the remaining classes that are probably older that use var? So this is one of those proposals that does not add anything to the language.
I can try to add my perspective. Actually started with PHP when with version 5, so it already did not have, it had var, but it was not suggested to use it. So I don't have any code with var variable, and my opinion would be that if there is some technical maybe gain from deprecating it, that it would maybe make it easier to implement something or open up to new possible features or easier maintaining, that yes, we could deprecate it. But if not, if it just to remove this var, then you should not do that at any point, because old libraries, as you said, basically old libraries depend on it, and probably those old libraries are not up to date and nobody will ever be updating them, so it could cause lots of damage to developers that using them.
Yes, I think this is a problem only at the source level, because if you have old packages that use the var, old classes that use var, it's very easy just to replace var with public. It would not change anything. But if this proposal to be deprecated goes forward, and then removing PHP 8, because there are two things being proposed here. One is deprecation, then removal. And the removal would be put just for PHP 8. And PHP 8, we don't know how many years are we apart from that. Probably 5 years or something, if things do not move as fast. Not move faster than in the past. So the idea is probably deprecate old code. The only thing that I probably see value on this is that deprecating old code will sort of force somebody to maintain that code or replace it with newer code. And I don't know if there is much value or just causing the expense of maintaining that code. But okay, there is always people that are just upset that there is old code being in use, but that is just the way how it goes. If it is working, people don't want to change it. Okay, and let's move on to the next discussion, which is an RFC about other planned discussions. not this one, a VAR, because that is not yet approved. So there is a proposal here that I don't know if it really needed to have a single I would say RFC to just propose the deprecations, because there are individual RFCs to deprecate things. And then there is a list of already discussed things to deprecate, and many some of these things are just basically things that for which there are alternatives to achieve, like the autoload function. Now there is the SPL autoload register, the PHP error message is a variable that will get the non-fatal error, and now you can use error get last message function. The create function, I don't know if there is an alternative except for using eval. Eval could serve for many purposes, so in this case I do not see the value of removing this create function, because you would have to maintain the code and do something with using alternative code. Then there is rand srand and get rand max. The idea here is to use empty rand. I suppose this is, if I got this right, it is meant to be the it uses better seeding for this, for generating random numbers.
It uses, I think, another algorithm to generate it. It was Merz and a Twister algorithm, probably some other algorithm that generates the random number.
Yeah. And sometimes I wonder why don't they just replace the old functions with the code that wraps around these new functions that provide alternatives.
True.
Anyway, that's probably going to cause some backwards compatibility breaking. And okay, then there's mbstring func overload. I've never used this, so I don't know, but it seems to be to replace a subset of strings functions with analogs from mbstring extension. Oh, I see. If mbstring extension is there, it will replace the function of certain functions, so they can work with multi-byte strings better.
Using normal functions.
And then there is unset cast. I never use cast, so I wonder what this means.
Nullify a variable.
No. Oh, I see. Well, since it returns null, they want to unset it. Well, I don't know. Anyway, these are backwards incompatible changes. So the idea is to deprecate them in PHP 7.1 and remove them in PHP 8.0. So again, it's like the discussion around VAR. Are these really necessary to remove? But I don't know. Usually these things get removed and the developers have to deal with it when they get to the PHP 8.
Again, from my perspective, I don't think I used any of those functions. Well, apart from rand, I know I used rand, because if you Google PHP random, you will have rand as the first result, so there's nothing you can do about that. I think deprecating them would be quite similar to deprecating var, and they could be put in the same bucket, so maybe if those are allowed to deprecate, then var should be deprecated too, and someone could develop an extension to plug into new PHP and allow all the stuff to exist again, or something like that.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Anyway, moving on to the next topic, which is about having pluggable mail transports, meaning that you could alter the method by which the email messages are sent using the mail function. So for now, this is just an initial discussion. There is no RFC yet, but there is a patch that is being proposed, which basically consists in adding new mail transports and be able to change them so you can send the message instead of using the send mail executable, it will use probably SMTP, I suppose.
Or anything you provide. I think the great example was in the same email that PHP by default handles sessions in files, but you can provide a custom way to handle session storage.
Yeah.
By setting a function and stuff. So it would be similar to mail. You just provide a transport layer or extension that would handle it. I think that what they mentioned, the use case is that you can't always provide the default send mail, and for shared hostings that many PHP developers use, they can't just say, we don't support mail function, use something else. Someone will ignore it, someone will not read it, the support will be full of questions, why mail is not working. So it would be easier to set up something else for them.
Yes, what happens is that some hosting company just replaced the send mail executable to route messages to a certain SMTP server that is probably in a different machine, rather than using the local mail server that is probably not even installed. So that could be useful for that purpose.
Is there any mail server that is installed on every Linux?
By default, you should have something compatible with sendmail, not necessarily sendmail, like Postfix or Qmail or something else.
Okay.
But usually, yes, because Linux is a Unix system. Unix system dollars are very based on email for many user tasks. Okay, let's see how this goes. Now, moving on to another topic, which is a new feature that was implemented in PHP Causes site. That will allow developers to find packages recommended by other packages.
As developers.
Yes, exactly, sorry. Like in 2014, the PHP Classes site implemented package recommendation system. So if you want a recommendation, you just go there and click here in the recommend PHP scripts, and you can ask for a recommendation. So eventually, another developer comes here and suggests a package. Internally, there is a sort of notification system that will send messages to developers that match the keyword, that have packages that match the keywords of the request. So if you ask for something about forms, the site will look up packages that have keywords related to forms and notify the developer, so they can eventually recommend packages that they have developed. So the idea is to have recommendations ready, but many users are not willing to wait. So it would be better if there was already some recommendations already for that kind of recommendation request for the purposes of the user. And sometimes there is actually something about those recommendations, those needs of the developer. So the recommendation could be attended right away. For instance, if you go here in the search, what was implemented now in the search page, when you have a search for something, it will match not only prices about packages and other stuff, but also recommendations about what you search. So if I search for XML parser, it will show me several recommendations that already exist about XML parsers. Then you can go there to those recommendations and see if they match what you need. This is good because, for instance, as you may see in this case, there are like 85 packages on the search, and then you have only 5 recommendations. So from these 85 packages, probably there are the most recommended package for this purpose, XML parser, are probably here. So you have much less effort to search. In some cases, if you use more specific keywords, like for instance, let's say I wanted an XML parser for RSS, I can go here and already see just one recommendation for this. One recommendation request. There could be many suggestions for this request. So the idea is to combine the accuracy of user recommendations with the speed of search engines. So you don't have to wait for somebody to come and search for and let you know about what it will recommend for your needs. And several authors can recommend what you are looking for. And with this integration in the search pages, you can have this already at hand. So it is a nice feature that was finally implemented on the top of another feature that was implemented. There were also other features that were implemented here on search page. Some people want to know if the packages are up to date. And then now you can see that the date as well, the last update in front, so you can see if the package that appears in the results are recent or old. Anyway, the idea is just to tell you about this feature. So moving on to another thing that we wanted to comment is about the Innovation Award. Let me share the screen here. As you may know, Dave Smith was the winner of the Innovation Award for 2015 for the whole year. And he gave an interview. So there is this article that presents the interview as well, the final results by author and by country. So United States won by country, as you mentioned before. And there is also at the end the Hangout, and the video of the Hangout and the audio of the interview with Dave Smith. And there is also interviews with the other nominees that helped the United States to win as a country. So we can see interviews of practically all of the nominees: Matthew Knowlton, Nick Daniels, Asher Wolfstein, Jack Patterson, Matthew Boyle, Richard Williams, and then Dave Smith as the main winner. So this is just to let you know that if you didn't miss this article, you can go there and find more about what they have talked, which is always interesting. Some of them even suggested improvements on the site features. It was quite nice. And similarly, there was also an interview with Anders Toth of Hungary that won the Innovation Award individually and by country in the JS Class site for the JavaScript Innovation Award 2015. So these are the basic of these articles. I don't know if you want to comment anything, Arthur.
Not much, apart from I'm still astonished that with the whole JavaScript community, we don't have even have a JavaScript icon, a logo, and we have a PHP elephant.
Yes.
Why can anyone can come up with something interesting that we could use?
Yes, because in reality, many of the authors that contribute to JS classes came also from the PHP classes. So, and that is a sort of a JavaScript world apart. And with that, I also like to take this opportunity to invite more authors to contribute to the JS classes site, because it's still needing more contributions. It's not like the PHP classes that has many nominees, and that for which we will be talking ahead about the nominees. Now we are going to talk about the Innovation Award nominees, starting from the JS classes nominees for December. So in this, they were nominated in December, then in January people voted, and February the results come out. So now you can comment on them without influencing the voting. Arthur, which ones would you like to comment?
So JS Classes first, right?
Right.
Right. The first one I want to comment is very interesting package.
Could you please increase the...
Oh, yeah, sorry. I forgot about that. Yeah. So it's called Cool LED Metrics, and it's all that it describes. It's LED metrics, and it's cool. And it was developed by José Luis Lasso from Spain. And basically, it allows you to provide a metrics, which is a two-dimensional array with values, and generates such cool LEDs from it. And as you see, you can also define multiple colors and use them in the metrics, or even do animations. So yeah, it's actually, I was really impressed. It's a great idea and excellent execution. So it was really fun to go through it and look at it. And José Luis got one book of choice by PACT for this awesome package. Really entertaining, really awesome. You can use it.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah. And the next one I wanted to mention is jQuery Repeatable Form, developed by Christian V from France. And apart from telling that it's a repeatable form, it actually can repeat parts of the form or repeat inputs. And I myself had multiple situations when this was useful, that you can implement one input and add many copies of it or removing the copies of it. And this, basically, this package implements it as a plugin to jQuery. So if you need anything like that in your form, you can easily use it and have to implement it yourself. And Christian got 1 year subscription to the basic plan of an API product of choice. That I think that's a new sponsor, right? API layer.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. That we mentioned in the past month, they joined us, the sponsors, either for JS classes and also PHP classes.
Yeah, so that's it on my part.
Okay, on my part, I also would like to comment on a package. Let me share the screen here. It is JavaScript Sticky Footer by also Christian Vig from France. And the idea is to make HTML section stick to the footer. And actually appears fixed there. And this was implemented as a jQuery plugin. And it is useful for that purpose. So congratulations to Christian V also for his another nomination. Well, nowadays we are already in 2000, 16, and we're already some nominees. We already comment about the winners of the 2015 on another article, another show. So in 2015, there was only the nominees of January being considered. It was just two. So far, the ranking is just for these two participations. Pravin Sonawane from India is first, and then Far Adur Rahim from Bangladesh is the in second place. So by country, it's basically the same. India is in first place with one packet of 2 points, and Bangladesh with following with one package and 2 points. I hope more packages are being submitted and these rankings become more exciting, because right now just one author from each country is contributing and leading the rankings. So now we are going to talk about the Innovation Award of PHP, and again we'll be talking about the winners of December that were nominated and or voted in January, and then in February the results come out. So Arthur, which ones would you like to comment?
The first one I wanted to comment is also, I think, a winner of this award. Yes, it's class named PHP OTP Login, which is OTP stands for one-time password, and it was developed by Vijaya Kumar Behera from India, and it's interesting because it provides a one-time password and uses MAC address to authenticate the device. And I recently needed something similar. I'm developing my kind of internal home system with multiple sensors and controlling electronics, and I want to make it available to the outside world so I could access it when I'm not home, but I also need a protection. So I was thinking of different approaches, and this kind of serves the right approach, only that it allows you to download a specific PHP script based on your system, Windows, Linux, or Mac, to get your MAC address and send it to server to authenticate. I would need also for mobile devices something similar, so I could use something similar, yeah. But that's basically what I thought, that it's interesting because I needed something similar in my case too. I think that the author skipped the prize probably, because
actually that is interesting, because we tried to communicate with him, but he did not reply, so we had to move on to the next nominees that picked the prizes. So if is listening to this, please contact us so you can still get your prize.
Okay, and the next one I wanted to mention is PHP Immutable State Status Tracker, developed by Jack Peterson from United States, and basically it implements immutable structures, immutable objects, keeping track of them, and immutable means that it could not change. So if you have some application that passes objects or uses some parallel execution, you would need to track if object was changed, to know and not allow maybe to change it. And I think that basically what this class does. I just love to see that more and more classes using GitHub to import them, and it's easy to read the README files and see the examples. Commenting
the easier. The README files are taken from Markdown, not from GitHub. So if people submit packages from wherever they want, could be even uploading manually, but importing from repositories, it's faster because they get updated. And when they have a README file, there is that can be assigned, so it appears below in the package as details provided by the author, apart
yeah,
from
for
the
some,
description.
For some reason, Markdown, README, basically already by default, I think it's GitHub. It's just a sense that I have because yeah. It's so popular on GitHub. Yeah, but true, it could be from any repo, or without repo also probably too. Okay, and Jack got one book of choice by Pact for this package.
Okay. So on my behalf, I would also like to comment on a few packages. Let me start for this package, JavaScript-like prototypes by Asher Ofstein from the United States. It is interesting because nowadays many of us use JavaScript for many purposes, so we are more familiar with certain features of JavaScript, like prototypes, which basically allow to define functions that apply to all objects of the classes. But
sorry, you are not sharing the screen.
Sorry?
You are not sharing the screen.
I'm not sharing the screen, oh damn. Because I was thinking that I was there already. Okay, so here is the package. The package does not have much to say about it, except maybe showing some example code that shows you how you can implement prototypes, defining the functions of certain classes all at once. So this is interesting. It is not exactly like it works in JavaScript, but it is quite close. And if you appreciate that feature of JavaScript, which is prototype based, you also appreciate this feature.
Basically, on JavaScript, we tend to emulate OOP behavior. When on PHP, we tend to emulate JavaScript prototype behavior.
Exactly. This is the there seems to be a war on languages. Which one will have the features? Well, have more features than the other. And this is interesting for people that appreciate these kinds of features. I don't have a use case for implementing prototype-based functionality in PHP, but other people may have this interest. So the next package that I wanted to comment is PHP MLM Tree Binary Plan. MLM means multi-level marketing, which in certain places it is a bad word because it's associated with scams, but it's not because it's multi-level marketing, but because the scams are trying to promote products of questionable use. Anyway, we are not here to question MLM, just about commenting about this package, in this case, what was developed by Dave Smith. And in this MLM marketing businesses, they structure the people that bring more people to the business in a tree. And in this case, a package was implemented actually answering a request from another user to develop a package that could manipulate this kind of tree. So Dave Smith actually implemented this package by storing data of the MLM binary tree members in a MySQL database. So kudos for Dave Smith. He already picked a prize this month for another package, so this one does not have a prize assigned. Regarding the Innovation Award rankings so far, already in 2016, we have already accounted for the last 2 months, so here we can see the ranking so far. In first place is Dave Smith again, with great participation, with three packages and 24 points, is in first place, followed by Yusad Sier with one package and 14 points, Johnny Mast, one package and 12 points, Haman Agparast from Iran with one package and 12 points as well, followed by Alessandro Quintilani with one package and 10 points, tied with Nadir Latif from Pakistan with one package and 10 points, and then Miguel from Venezuela with one package and 10 points. As well, Sami Massoud from Egypt with one package and 10 points. Then in ninth place comes Philip Tomasini from Mexico, one package and 5 points, tied with Roberto Aleman from Venezuela with one package and 10 points. As for the ranking by country, again, United States is leading with 4 packages and 26 points, followed by Pakistan with 2 packages and 24 points, and then Venezuela with 2 packages but 15 points. Then in fourth place is Iran with 1 package and 12 points, tied with Netherlands with same points and packages. And then Egypt and Italy are tied with one package in 10 points. And then in eighth place, Mexico and Argentina are also tied with one package and 5 points. So with this, we practically ended the Lately in PHP podcast. I'd like to thank you, Artus, again for coming. And we'll be back next month once again with more interesting PHP topics. So on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.